When you hear the word adventure, do you think of parenting? Maybe you should. We'll explain next on Inside Lifeway. Welcome to Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. I'm your host, Brooklyn Knoll. Rodney and Selma Wilson have impressive resumes that include authoring several books, serving in marriage and family ministry for 25 years, and working as executive editors of Home Life magazine. Perhaps most impressive, however, in an age of short-term marriages and uninvolved parents, is that they've been married for more than 30 years and have two Christian adult daughters with whom they maintain a close relationship. In a new book and study by Lifeway called The Parent Adventure, Rodney and Selma use data gathered by Scott McConnell and Lifeway Research to talk about their experiences raising those Christian daughters, and they offer some tips for other parents. Rodney, Selma, thank you for being here.
Brooklyn, thank you for having us. It's good to be with you.
It's great to be here.
I think we need to just start with the title of the book, The Parent Adventure. Not experience, not task, not, you know, gift of God, but adventure. What's that all about?
Very intentional that we said the parent adventure, because that word adventure means excitement and danger, and that's exactly what parenting is. It's a little bit of both. Okay. And we wanted the energy of parenting to be represented in this work. That adventure is exciting. It is everyone can get involved, and we really wanted to paint a positive opportunity for parents to engage in parenting. We wanted the book to say, you can do this, and join the adventure. So
and the danger part of it is just, it's just unknown. Mm-hmm. You don't know how this is going to turn out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. It's a challenge. It should keep you on your knees, you know.
Yes.
But it's a real adventure. It's a challenge, but it's a joy. It's a journey.
At what point in raising, and now how old are your daughters? Can I ask that?
25 and 23.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you not so old that you can't remember. Mm-hmm. At what point when they were small did you realize this is just a lot? Was it the day you brought them home or pre bringing them home?
For us, having our second one was to me, I think, just a little bit overwhelming. And I've asked a lot of people that have had three children or more, a lot of parents, saying, was it more difficult to go from two to three or even from one to two? And everybody says it's more difficult to go from one to two. There's just something about
really?
That. So that's kind of when it hit me personally, that in terms of this is, we have to multitask now. You know, this is kind of a challenge. And I know people are laughing at me that have four or five kids, you know, but that's kind of when it hit me, when we had our second one.
I think for me it was the day Jennifer was born, our first, you know, holding this baby in my hands and going, this is a life, it's 24/7. And then as the days progress and then Natalie came along, you realize parenting is an everyday thing.
Right.
And so immediately we knew that we had gone to another level of responsibility and fun. And one of the things in the whole parenting thing is you get to be a child again. And you get to see the world through the lens of your children, which is very refreshing. We can get to adult. So that's fun.
We didn't have the, you know, we weren't the perfect parents.
No.
Those don't exist.
No one
this side
is.
Of
no.
Heaven, but we were blessed with some incredible experiences.
Yes.
I had a great experience raising our girls, and we feel obligated to put some of that down on paper to share those with other people or to talk with other people about it, to counsel from our perspective or whatever, just to share that, to pass along the good fortune we've had in terms of the parenting experience with others. And that's part of what's conveyed in The Parent Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you mentioned in the study, one of those experiences was your daughters telling you, one of your daughters saying, you love my sister more.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly a learning moment for
yes.
you guys. What did that teach you?
Well, man, one of the things in parenting, you've got to talk to your kids. I mean, we tell parents that you never want to shut down communication, ever, 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 for any reason. And one of the things we built into our family was a concept of having a family conference.
Okay.
And the rules were simple. Anyone could call a family conference for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the only rules were everyone had to show up. So it's a humorous thing, but powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Our second daughter, Natalie, was about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. She called a family conference. So we gathered around. And very clear as a bell, she looked at us and said, I think you love my sister Jennifer more than me. So, you know, there's that part of you wanting to laugh about that,
sure.
but she was very serious.
Of course.
And we were able to gather around and talk about it. Why do you feel that way? And and I just remember that so clearly, because what struck me after it was what would have happened if she had not been able to say that? But because we had the freedom to say whatever, and we had family conferences about bugs and boys and vacations and every topic under the sun.
Right.
But we had a system in our home where you could say what you felt. Mm-hmm. So that was just one point.
And at 4 years old.
At four, too. Exactly.
So. Is it too early? Is there ever too early to start something like that?
Oh, I think you always need to encourage your kids to be open with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory, a concept, I guess, that each conversation you have with
yes.
your kids affects the next one that you have. In terms
okay.
of, like, if we'd have just humiliated and berated Natalie and said, how dare you say that we love her more, and get real
mm-hmm.
defensive of everything else, you know, she would have
mm-hmm.
shut down
mm-hmm.
even at four and would have got the message, you don't bring up these things.
Mm-hmm.
But because we treated
mm-hmm.
her with respect, we treated her with dignity, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we simply walked with her and explained to her why, you know, she might have felt that or
mm-hmm.
or asked her a little bit more about it and got what she was feeling, and then kind of walked her through that in a healthy way, then, you know, she felt the freedom all along the way, as Jennifer did as well, to open up to us. So I don't think there's any earliest age you can. You just encourage them. It may be surprising to you, like that family conference was, you know, with
at
the
4 years
boy.
Old.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we've had other family conference topics, you know, and kids would call it, we'd have one periodically for a while about getting a dog.
Yeah.
This one over here, this lady.
I was the holdout on the dog.
Yeah, and we finally wore her down, you know. and she was the one to end up loving Pebbles more than any of us.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, think like that. What were some other family conversations?
I think you need to start building communication in your home from day one.
Mm-hmm.
From day one. I think about this when Natalie was born, the second child, mm-hmm. we would talk out loud to Natalie, but knowing Natalie wasn't comprehending, but Jennifer took in every word we were saying.
Sure.
So we'd talk to Natalie and say, you have a great big sister,
yeah.
and she's wonderful,
yeah.
and
okay.
she loves you so much. So mm-hmm. so I think, from day one, in mm-hmm. fact, before you have children, as a couple, as a parent, you need to be talking about issues openly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the parallel is it's exactly what God wants us to do. God mm-hmm. wants us to be authentic with Him, real, share any emotion.
Okay.
There's nothing that we can't say to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want that same atmosphere in your home. That your kids, so talking about dogs and talking about you know, bugs,
vacations,
and we'll eventually be talking about boys and talking mm-hmm. about sex and talking about purpose and meaning in life, and
mm-hmm.
and that's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I counseled a parent of a teenager recently, and he had shut down communication with his teenage son, and I looked at him and I said, you need to go to your son. And you need to look at him, put your hand on his shoulder, and say, "Son, I love you." Break that wall down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you start early, and it will pave the way. Even to today, with their adult daughters, Rodney has a date night with Natalie, who's in graduate school now.
Okay.
Every Monday night, they have a date night.
She's 200 miles away.
Yeah.
We don't miss that every Monday night.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
But
that's fantastic.
Go back to a conversation at 4 when
uh-huh.
she said,
yeah.
I think you love my sister more than me.
Right.
So today at 23, Rodney can still talk to her.
Uh-huh.
So it really matters.
And I'm still trying to explain to her why we love Jennifer more.
Right. It still comes
yeah.
up sometimes.
Still comes up. And it does still come up sometimes. Sibling issues are always there.
Sure. Well, you've been in marriage and family ministry
mm-hmm.
now for 25
mm-hmm.
years, Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
You serve as a minister
yes.
of marriage and family ministry.
Right. LifePoint in Smyrna.
What drives a book like this, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you see in your ministry that just makes you go, where are the tools?
Mm-hmm.
What are parents missing? What started that whole process for you guys?
I think in a lot of my role, I do a lot of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I counsel parents a lot, Brooklyn, in that, parents get overwhelmed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is, as we were talking about, it's exasperating at times, and it's bewildering and confusing and,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, in addition to being an adventure and danger and excitement and all that. But they tend to complicate things sometimes. And sometimes they over-try. They
mm-hmm.
just really want absolute every single thing to go perfectly
mm-hmm.
and all that. And maybe they expect perfection out of themselves or the
mm-hmm.
kid or something like that. And what we wanted to do was just simply take some of our
mm-hmm.
thoughts, our experiences,
mm-hmm.
and share them in a form that would be very, very simple,
mm-hmm.
very easily memorable,
mm-hmm.
applicable mm-hmm. to their own lives and doable, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to offer a piece of encouragement to mm-hmm. them. And so these concepts like having talk systems and having some of the other principles that we'll talk about in a moment, these are very, very memorable. And mm-hmm. we've had several people mm-hmm. tell us, you know, as they've read the manuscript and now read the book, they say, don't take this, you know, in an offensive way. Don't be hurt by this. But this is very simple and it's very memorable, you know, to which
right.
we say, thank you very much. You know?
As it should be.
Yeah, we want them to be able to take this and say, hey, I can do this. Mm-hmm. This is good. And it's a piece of encouragement and just letting them know that this parenting thing, mm-hmm. while it's a challenge and while it's a little bit dangerous, a little exciting and all that, and adventurous, it is doable, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be done.
Okay. One of the greatest feedbacks that we've gotten as we've been teaching this now out in different forms around the country is men. It's father's mm-hmm. response.
Yeah. Really?
And that is exactly the target. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought, no offense, men, but we thought if you would read this book, yeah. then we would have succeeded.
Huh.
And fathers have said to us, I can do this.
Wow.
You know, I can immediately begin to apply this in my parenting. Mm-hmm. Concepts like the yes home and
okay.
Letting go and all those. And that's what we wanted. We wanted something not to put more guilt on people. I mean, our lives today are full. Parents are busy, packed.
Sure.
And so we wanted this to be something that that parents could feel mm-hmm. that they had a tool that they could immediately use that would make a difference in their family and in their parenting.
And we've had quite a few dads come to us and say,
yes.
I'm not a reader, but this I really yeah. couldn't put down. This
yeah.
is so applicable and mm-hmm. so real, so practical to where we are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of draws them in. And again, for a book to do that for mm-hmm. guys, that's a little unusual, you know. It's kind of special. So.
Well, but it indicates, too, that people want to be better at it. They're just
that is true.
Concerned. They just don't know how.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
Were any of the data that Scott mm-hmm. McConnell pulled, and he's Associate Director of Lifeway Research,
yes.
and a father himself,
yes.
ministry and research for 10 years, what of his stats that he provided for this mm-hmm. book, did any of it shock you, or do you pretty much see it in your ministry?
That's an excellent question. I think a couple of things I'd want to say. Number one, on the positive side,
mm-hmm.
This was a broad-based research of parents across
right.
the U.S., and we were so honored to work with Scott McConnell
yes.
on this.
Oh, yeah.
We found overwhelmingly across the board, parents want to be good parents.
Okay.
They really, truly love their children. You know, sometime in our culture, we have this sense that parents have, you know, they don't like parenting anymore. Well,
right.
we found that to be not true at all. Parents really do want to be successful in parenting. So that was great.
Great jumping off point.
A great jumping off point. But behind that, we found some very sobering statistics.
Mm-hmm.
One that really stands out is that parents don't seek help in parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That they really depend on how they were parented to
oh,
parent.
My.
Oh, my. So you see already the challenge of that. They want to succeed, but they don't know, they don't feel for whatever reason that they can ask for help.
Okay.
And so they'll default to how they were parented. So
mm-hmm.
so that became a very obvious challenge. But a couple of other things, we found that parents do not see the Bible as a key tool in how to parent. They that even as they defined success, in parenting the way the culture would, that my child would be good, that my child would have good grades in school, that my child would get a good job, that they would be popular, that they would be able to make money, all the things the culture said. And only, I think it was around 14% of parents equated success with a faith relationship with God.
Interesting.
Very. So we felt like there was an opportunity. Parents wanted to succeed,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't know how to succeed. They didn't know where to go to get tools to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So that really brought the challenge that we wanted to do something that would give them tools they could use immediately
mm-hmm.
That would help them be successful.
What does the Bible say mm-hmm. about parenting? Because honestly, I don't know that I would start flipping through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have children myself.
Interesting, you should say that one of the alarming stats that we found out that, mm-hmm. to me was that such a low percentage of, mm-hmm. of people. Maybe it shouldn't be surprising, but such a low percentage of people that that had any idea at all
yeah.
What the Bible had to say about parenting. Mm-hmm. We have a core verse. It's mm-hmm. A core passage, Deuteronomy 6:5-7, which basically says, "Thou shalt love the Lord mm-hmm. your God with everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all your heart, your soul, your
right.
your strength, all that stuff. And then it says these words, this admonition that you need to love me. You know, you need to share that.
Mm-hmm.
Pass that along to your children. And it says, talk about these words that I'm sharing with you when you lie down, when you get up, when you sit around the house, when you walk along the road. Mm-hmm. In other words, as you do life, you know, mm-hmm. as you're living your life, you model for them, and then you be mindful mm-hmm. of the fact that you've got this. And as you do life, you say, hey, look at that sunset, you know, John. You know who made that? You know, that is an incredible, beautiful tree. You know, it didn't look like that a few months ago, did it? You know, mm-hmm. you know who made the changes in that? You know, it was God. You know, just in other words, you're just teaching that you have a belief and you're modeling for them as you do your life, but also, you know, you find those teaching points along the way as you go.
Okay.
As you lie down, as you get up, you know, you talk about the Lord, you pray, and that type of thing. So it's mm-hmm. that's one of the major biblical principles, you know, from God's Word. It says, you know, you need to just live your life in a godly way, mm-hmm. but then find out those opportunities to really convey what I've shared with you. You know,
one of the things, Brooklyn, we found in this scripture passage that, you know, as we begin to really look at all the passages related to parenting,
right.
that we kind of had to laugh about, you know, that this passage in Deuteronomy, written a long time ago, a different culture of parenting.
Sure.
But what Scripture tells us to do is applicable to every age and every time. Because
mm-hmm.
it basically, Scripture says, just tell your kids about me as you do life. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets up. Everybody goes to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody walks and talks in between. And that was just kind of... Yeah. And again, it was our point. We make it too hard. We've had some people say, you know, and again, I don't want to be negative about those that do this, but people have said in your book, do you talk about creating family worship times or
mm-hmm.
creating family altar times?
Mm-hmm.
And we say, well, no, because what we do is say all of life should be integrated faith.
Right.
That we should talk about God all the time, in a natural way, you know, in a way that's just as common as getting up, going to bed, and doing life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the point that we wanted to make. And God's Word tells us how to do life. God's Word tells us the meaning of life and the mm-hmm. purpose. And, you know, John 10:10, you know, that Jesus died to give us life and life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, everything about how parents are to live life is found in God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture is, it's fairly simple. We overcomplicate it,
right.
you know. And so that's part of what we wanted to say to parents. You can teach your kids about God. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have
right.
to, you don't have to know all of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you're doing life, be real, be open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the chapters we put in there is on pain happens.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the chapters we could put, all the principles, as we were looking at it, we said we want one that drives home the fact that parents feel pain, kids feel pain, and let it be a natural conversation with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not perfect. No, none of us are perfect. Now, a lot of parents carry guilt, regret.
Sure.
And that keeps them from joining in on the adventure of parenting. It's like they give up and say, well, I can't do it because I'm not perfect.
Is there fear with parents?
Oh.
Do you encounter that a lot where they kind of go, I'd rather not be involved because I don't want to mess the kid up?
Mm.
Yeah, from day one, I don't want to break this baby. You know, what I do, how do I hold this baby? You know,
yes,
whatever.
Right.
You know, people are so conscientious and so
mm-hmm.
forth. Some of them are more than others. But
uh-huh.
I think you can, I don't think
yes.
you have to be fearful of it. I think you need to respect
uh-huh.
the challenge there. You
sure.
you respect the challenge that's going to, as Sam mm-hmm. was saying, you know, cause you to step your level mm-hmm. of responsibility, you
mm-hmm.
know, your time and energy draining and those kind
mm-hmm.
of things. You know, I think you need to respect that, but not to live in fear about it. And that's part of what this piece does, is encourage people to say, again, you can do this
yes.
and you can do this in the power of the Lord without fear. So.
I think one of the fears that parents have is the fear of the culture.
Right, especially Christian
parents.
Absolutely,
yeah. And again, you hold this precious child, and you feel the responsibility, and all of a sudden you think, I've got to protect them from everything,
mm-hmm.
and so just the weight of that. I
mm-hmm.
mean, none of us can.
Right.
I mean, you're setting yourself up as a parent for failure right off the bat.
Well, and you mentioned too that you begin from day one, letting your child
That's
go.
Right.
But you let them go to God.
That's right.
Explain how you came to that conclusion.
Oh, and Rodney and I spend a lot of our ministry in marriage ministry. And I'm telling you, this principle of letting go is huge, huge for parents. And that's the reason it's the first principle in the book is letting go.
Okay.
Parents put the child in the center of their world. And you understand it. You love them so much. They're so precious, but God never meant them to be the center. And it is not good for the child, and it's not good for you as a parent. And we see many adults that are still struggling because mom and dad haven't let them go.
And if
you look at Scripture, we've many passages in there that we relate to that. We love the story of Hannah and Samuel.
Okay.
She prayed for a child. God blessed her with Samuel, and she literally takes Samuel to the temple. I remember one parent said, "Do we literally take our child?" I said, No, we don't take him. Don't take your child to the pastor.
Some parents of teenagers would love to do that.
You can have them. But it is that if you start from the beginning or wherever you are in parenting, you can start with a teenage child and just acknowledge, I don't own them. I don't have the plans for their life. I cannot control them. And you have that time where you just really give them to God, and you remind the child every season of their life that God is the one that has the plans for them, and it just frees you up from a lot from the guilt that you cannot protect them from everything, but our God is working in their life. He is greater than we are. And, man, it is so freeing as we've watched our children find their path and their journey with God. We don't know that. I mean, even, you know, as we prayed for their husbands and we have a son-in-law now, a son. We just love having a son in our life. But we couldn't do that. You know, God had to direct the path. And so we have found the letting go chapter and probably the yes home chapter, we've had the most parents come and say that, that is me. I have a no home, or I'm holding on to my child, and I need to let go.
Explain. You've mentioned the yes home a couple of times. Can you explain that briefly?
Yeah, the yes home is
one of our favorites.
Yeah, it is. It's just a unique one, and this kind of resonates with a lot of people, a lot of people that we've taught this and that have read it in the book. A yes home is saying yes when you can. It's basically the what we say is the default setting for a parent when a kid comes to them and asks a question. Basically, the answer that they lean toward, they gravitate toward is no.
Right.
It's you know, that'll be too much trouble, or I'm too tired, we can't do this. No, you can't do this.
Create a mess.
It'll be a mess, you know, that type of thing. Or just, no, because I'm the parent, I said no. You know, that's the, you know, and we encourage parents not to immediately say yes to everything. That'd be irresponsible. But to at least change the default to giving it just some thought.
Entertain the idea.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, and just that in itself would give the kid value. Hey, at least we considered your idea. You know,
right.
Rather than no, it's you again, and the answer again is no. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so we're saying, you know, that we encourage parents to say, consider saying yes. We've never thought about that. We give several examples. One of them, when Jennifer was little, six, 7 years old, and every Friday night we'd have what we called family night. We'd eat in the dining room, and then we'd go in the living room, and we'd watch some videos or, you know, TV programs, whatever, and have fun, play a game or two, and then go to bed. That'd be it. And she asked one night, she said, "Why can't we have our Friday night family night, and why can't we have our dinner in the living room floor?" And someone looked at me, and I looked at her, and we said, why not? You know, okay.
Of all the things you could ask, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do
that's
this.
That's part of the spirit of having a yes home, saying no, because we always do this here. We don't eat. Or you stand there, they get dirty or whatever. And, you know, we may have spilled some drink or something on the living room floor in the process because, you know, sometimes they're messy. A lot of cleanup afterwards and everything. But it was a uniqueness that our family had.
Sure.
And it, you know, it just kind of launched it off. That, hey, we can be creative as a family. And Jennifer is that six-year-old, you know, think, hey, I had an idea that I contributed, and our family bought into it. You know, so she has value as well. You know, at that point. So.
And Friday nights turning the living room into jungles and tents, and it took out on a whole new adventure. One of the things in the yes home that we find, yes home has an environment in it that has energy and people want to be there.
It's creative, I would think,
very creative. And what we find in Scripture, God is a yes God. And so many people who are followers of Christ have a no faith. It's all about the no's. Now, God gave us some no's. just like we need no's and boundaries for our children. But his promises, his yes promises, are many more than his no's. I love the passage, and we didn't see this till we wrote the book, where God is with Adam in Genesis, right out of the chute. And, mm-hmm. and what does he do? He says, Adam, you can eat from any tree in the garden.
A lot of yes trees,
mm-hmm. but there's one no tree. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, there's 10 commandments, but there's hundreds of promises. Hmm. So we encourage parents, keep the balance of no's. We mm-hmm. need no's. We mm-hmm. need absolute boundaries. But make sure your yeses are mm-hmm. more than your no's. And it okay. just changes the dynamics. And I can't tell you how many parents, with one man in particular, I remember tears running down his eyes, and he said, I am a no dad. My kids say this to me. I hear them right now. They say, Dad, we know the answer's no, but. And so this chapter has really resonated with people, and they've immediately said, I can change that default button. And it changes how you parent, because we want our God's, our children to know the God of yes. Mm-hmm. And man, this is one that I highly recommend.
It just connects with the kids, uh-huh. and it adds some credibility, and it opens up communication.
Mm. Yes.
The subtitle of our book is Preparing Your Kid for a Life with God.
Right.
And having a yes kind of mm-hmm. environment, and being able to set up these talk systems of when you can talk together, like the family conference, for example, and just place some value on them and listen to their ideas and sharing mm-hmm. with them, it puts you in a position to where you've kind of won the right to be heard as you do find opportunity to share about mm-hmm. the Lord with them. You know, mm-hmm. so that's a part of the preparing away. But you got to put yourself in position, and having a yes home mm-hmm. kind of sets that environment, that tone, that energy where that can happen.
So say someone goes out and picks up the study today, mm-hmm. before they can even, they're desperate at this mm-hmm. point, before mm-hmm. they even can get started and get through the study, what would you tell them to change today? Would it be this mentality of yes, or is there something else they can do?
A desperate parent that immediately wanted to have an impact, probably we'd say, we advise them not just to get the book, but to seek counsel. You know, we would. Because yeah. mm-hmm. there are those places that people are at a crossroads. Something's going
right.
on.
Okay.
And so we're big proponents of getting good Christian-based counseling. All mm-hmm. of us are in crisis at some mm-hmm. point. But in terms of the book, we would say, I would start with chapter one, yeah. acknowledging that God ultimately holds the plans for our life as a parent, number one, and mm-hmm. for the life of our child. Mm-hmm. We've had many parents who feel the weight of a rebellious child, and they feel like they've done something wrong. And right. somewhere they've heard, they felt like if they'd done it right, their child would never rebel. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's right out of the chute in the book. We talk about the prodigal son story in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And we know in the story that the father represents God the Father, but there are two sons.
Yeah.
One went in a far country. Mm-hmm. Same father, the perfect father, one went in a far country. And so, you know, man, our God is a God who can handle any crisis. And part of it is going to the author of life himself mm-hmm. and acknowledging that we're not perfect and we need his help. And it's funny, a crisis at every age, a crisis, it's a two-year-old mm-hmm. who you know, won't get out of the bedroom of mom and dad uh-huh. or won't go to bed. Or the crisis of, you know, a child telling you, no, I'm not going to do that for the first time. Or a teenager. mm-hmm. who has snuck out at night and it depends on the age what a parent would define as a crisis.
Sure.
And but we would tell parents who face a crisis, get help. Don't own that by yourself.
Okay.
And
should they start with their church?
Absolutely. Okay. One of the things in the trade book, the Parent Adventure has three parts to it. It has a trade book. It has a study book for parents to do, and it has a DVD mm-hmm. of us teaching. In the trade book, we have a whole section on the church challenge, mm-hmm. helping churches do parent ministry and giving examples of churches that are doing that well. So absolutely, the church should be partners with parents. And we would tell a parent, go to your pastor, go to one of the ministers in your church, read a book, but go and ask, you know, tell them that you're at a crossroads and say, will you help me? Mm-hmm. Because the research told us parents are not prone to do that.
Right.
And so we would absolutely encourage a parent, you know, even a, another Christian to pray with you, share that, whatever the issue is, with someone else.
Just don't hold it.
Don't hold it in. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. No. You were talking about parents that are desperate, that type of thing. One of the things that we have on the chapters is called Pain Happens. Mm-hmm. And in that chapter, there's a section called The Pain of Regret. Mm-hmm. As parents look back and they see all the flaws. And it's as our kids launched from the nest in their early 20s and late teens and went off to school and everything else, that's a real vulnerable time for us as a parent because we look back. Our raising of them is over. Mm-hmm. You know, the hay's in the barn, everything's done, you know, and what's done is done. And sometimes you can look back and you can think, ouch, you know, this really hurts. And I just, I should have done this and I didn't do this, or I really came down on too hard way back then, or what, you know, you just think of all the flaws. And if you stay there, that can really eat you, and it can eat you alive, you know, and it can render you helpless in terms of your abundant life or your any kind of positive influence you can have on your kid from this day forward. All you've got is the present and, you know, what lies ahead. So basically we tell them, you know, to look back, to glance back at that, and if you need to confess anything, you do that. But then, as Paul says, you know, then you forget what's behind. You strain toward what's ahead and you press on, you know, you move forward. Kind of helping them deal with that, because every parent can look back with some level of regret. You know, so so that's a very real practical thing. And again, kind of in terms of an encouragement to the parents.
Well, guys, we are we're about out of time. But this is just fantastic. Is there anything else you need people to know right off the bat that you want to tell them?
That's hard to wrap up because we're so passionate about this. And I guess what we would say to any parent is enjoy the adventure of parenting. Enjoy it. It is a short season, a very short season. And that's part of what we try to help parents understand. You know, don't be too hard on yourself or your child at any season, because it'll be gone in an instant. And the 20 years that we had our children in that formal parenting role was over so fast. And, man, all the memories, all the adventures are incredible. So even in the good times and the hard times, God is with you, and he works in amazing ways. So join the parent adventure and have a great time with it. Bring others along with you, and just turn to God at all times, because the key to parenting success is preparing your kid for life with God. It's great to do all those other things. Give them a good, you know, get them a good education. Prepare them to use their gifts. All those things, but in sustaining life, those things will not stand up.
Right.
But if your child has an anchor in God, they will succeed in life. And
I would say it's not just a matter of telling parents, you know, you just trust God, everything will be fine.
No.
You know, that's it's more involved than that, obviously. But a walk with the Lord is so essential. And I have counseled a lot of folks before and told them that, you know, if you're, as you're relating to your spouse, as you're relating to your children or whatever, a good, close, not a perfect, but a close walk with God cannot be contained. It will spill over. You will be influenced. You will be sharing the things about the Lord as you go, you know, as you live your life here and there. And so, and finally, I would think the abundant life that Christ came to give us, it is available for parents right where they are right now, right when they are, you know, with the, with the parent, with the teenagers, you know, with those pre-adolescents that are just going through puberty and all this stuff, or on the verge of the empty nest or the terrible twos or whatever, you know. So wherever they are, the abundant life applies to them right when they
begin
are there.
Yes, and so, that's right.
This is doable. With the power of the Lord, all things are possible with God. So,
Well, I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Brooklyn. It's been a joy. It's been a joy.
I'm sure that the book and the study are as entertaining in a group setting as they have been here. So thank you both.
We do have some humor,
yes.
Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Good luck with the next step of parenting.
Okay. Thank you.
Inside Lifeway is a production of Lifeway's Corporate Communications Department. For the latest Lifeway news, to subscribe to our e-newsletter, or for media contact information, visit the online newsroom at www.lifeway.com/news.